written what you are thankful for on one of the Christmas bulbs, please remember to get with Cindy Dilley. I guess she's outside. For those of you who don't know Cindy, I think she's outside the door. But get with Cindy Dilley. She's the lady with carrying the basket of bulbs. Make sure you have your name on it to prepare for our service next Sunday when we conclude our thankful series and decorate our tree with our thankful bulbs. Today we live in an amazing world. We have so much to be thankful for and so many things in our lives to be thankful for. Matter of fact, did you realize that in the year 1750, glue didn't even exist? How did the floors and carpets become clean before the year 1901 when the first vacuum cleaner was invented? Or what was breakfast like before 1906 when cornflakes were invented? I don't know. What did people put leftovers before the year 1947? And that was when Tupperware was invented. Or what did we do when we were hungry and on the go before the year 1954 when Ray Kroc opened up the very first McDonald's that we so visit so many of us today? Or did you realize that until 1954 people actually had to get up and turn the television station or turn the knob to where they wanted to? Because remote control wasn't invented until 1956. And then it wasn't until the 1970s that ATMs were around to prevent you from having to take a trip to the bank each time you wanted to have some cash available on you, or you would go to perhaps a store or a convenience store and hope that you had enough ID forms on you for them to cash a check to give them cash. It's almost like signing your life away, but nowadays we have ATMs to go to. Or how did we remind ourselves what to do before the year 1974 when post-it notes were invented to help us to remember what to do? We live in a world today that is easier than before, more comfortable than before, and definitely more desirable than before. Things are constantly being reinvented to reshape our world and to make it a better life. In fact, 2008 Time Magazine showed that the number one invention in 2008 was... anybody have an idea? 2008, the number one thing that topped their list, the things that were invented to make life easier, more pleasurable, was the retail DNA test. Huh? The retail DNA test. For $399, you can buy this kit and you take a saliva test and you can find out over 90 traits and conditions ranging from baldness to blindness from a drop of saliva. Of course, you can always wait till you're as old as Donnie Cobalt and find out most of those things in your life anyway about yourself. But for $399, you can buy a test kit. I love you, Donnie. My church email's on the website. Those inventions I mentioned earlier before were definitely, certainly things to be grateful for. But sometimes our gratefulness isn't decided or weighed necessarily on what we receive. For example, the perfect example is this one. An Oprah Winfrey show aired one September season, and Oprah, whose share now airs in a gazillion countries all around the world, decided to celebrate her 19th season by giving everyone in her audience a brand new car. So the 276-member audience was selected because of either friends or family had written in why this particular person needed a new car. For instance, one couple had over 400,000 miles on their two vehicles, and one mom wrote in that her son's car drove a car that looked like it had been in a gunfight. It had so many holes and rust spots in it. So Oprah began her show by calling out 11 people out of the audience onto the stage, and then she then distributed them a box, and when they opened up the box, they found the keys to a brand new Pontiac G6 vehicle. Then she distributed a gift box to everyone in her audience, telling that one of them contained keys to the 12th car that would be given away, kind of like the Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, hope I got the golden ticket thing. But when all the audience opened up their box, it was found out that keys were in there to everyone. And Oprah began jumping up and down, yelling in excitement, "Everybody gets a car! Everybody gets a car!" And sure enough, Oprah jumped up and down, and pandemonium was going out throughout the audience, and everyone hugged and was yelling, and everybody. And then they went out to the parking lot behind Oprah's Harpo Studios to see all their new cars, and every one of those Pontiac G6s were out there with a big, giant red bow on top for them. And it was beautiful, and everybody was happy. But not all is well in Oprah Land. Because, you see, the people that received those cars started complaining to the television studio. I mean, even though the local taxes and licensing fees were covered as part of this gift, they forgot one person in particular, our old friend the IRS. They took a sizable income bite out of their pocket. Because the $28,000, which was the value of the Pontiac G6, was now added to their income for that year that they had to complete. And their state income tax also went up, and their car insurance costs increased dramatically. And some of the winners thought that this ought to be taken into account when they received or given the cash to cover these expenses as well when they received these vehicles. So how do you keep from becoming ungrateful and hardened to the increasing blessings that we have in life? Today we're going to look at a passage like that that's all about cultivating a grateful heart. If you have your Bibles, which I hope most of you do, turn to Luke chapter 17. For you new Bible readers, Luke is in the New Testament. It's one of the Gospels. Chapter 17. And we're going to read the Scriptures, verses 11 through 19. So go to Luke chapter 17. We'll begin with verse 11. And it reads like this. And it came about, while he was on the way to Jerusalem, that he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a certain village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. And they raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And it came about as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? There was no one found to turn back to give glory to God except this foreigner." And he said to them, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you healed." We're approaching that time of year we call Thanksgiving. It's a time when we set aside a particular day of the year and give thanks to God for what He's done for us and what He's blessed us with. I mean, even those who aren't particularly living in the obedience to God's will or hardly give God a second thought often take time and pause from their routine to give thanks to God for something. During this week, many people will be cooking turkey. Some of them already have in preparation for tonight's dinner over at Ground Zero. Make sure you come to that. Some of them will be baking pumpkin pie. Many will be watching football games. Some will be even perhaps in the woods hunting for dinner or a deer or something like that. But I wonder, in the midst of all this holiday commotion, if people will often pause and really thank God. I mean, I also wonder why we need a national holiday to do this. To remind us to give thanks to God. You know, many of us, I mean, there's nothing wrong with having a time of Thanksgiving, but shouldn't every day be filled with giving thanks to God? Many of us usually are so busy taking care of things ourselves that we often forget to pause and rest in the peace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And because we're off to work with our schedules, and maybe we'll pause for a brief moment during the day, but or perhaps even during the evening, as your head touches the pillow, you may perhaps thank God for something, but all in all, you had such a busy day that most of it was forgotten. I mean, one day, this woman was rushing home from a doctor's appointment, and the doctor had been kind of delayed, as most of you know they do sometimes at the hospital, and of course, the lab work took longer than usual, and so by the time she left the clinic, she was running quite a bit behind her schedule. She still had her prescription to pick up. She had to pick up her children from the babysitter. Had to get home and make supper, and all in time to make the prayer meeting at church that evening. So she began to circle this busy Walmart parking lot looking for a space to park. To make things worse, the windows of heavens opened up and a downpour began. Solid downpour. And so while she wasn't usually the type to busy God with small problems, she began to pray as she turned down the front row closest to the door. And she was praying like, "Lord, you know what kind of day I've had, and there's still an awful lot to do today. Could you please give me a parking spot right away? Oh, and even if it can be close to the building so I won't get soaked as I go in." Well, the words weren't even completely out of her mouth when she saw the backup lights light up from the car ahead of her at the end of the front row. It was the best space in the parking lot. I mean, this was right next to the handicapped spots, and it was right there straight in front of that door to where she could make a beeline to it and hardly get wet at all. So she made a straight beeline with her car right to that parking lot as soon as that car pulled out. And as she was whipping in that parking spot, she said, "Never mind, God, something opened up." we get something like it. It's kind of an amusing story. But how many times do we do something similar to this woman in our story? When we receive something like this from God, we act as if it were an unusual coincidence, and we often fail to give credit where it's really due. I mean, we chalk it up to, now that was odd. Or maybe we'll say, "Oh, it must have been in the stars," or "Wow, that's never happened before." I call this coincidental Thanksgiving. Coincidental Thanksgiving. Wow, that's a coincidence. A few years ago, how many of y'all remember the popular cartoon Peanuts by Charles Schulz featuring Snoopy? Some of you do. Good. Okay. A few years ago, the once popular Peanuts cartoon pictured Charlie Brown bringing out Snoopy's dinner Thanksgiving Day. But it was just his usual dog food in a bowl. Snoopy took one look at that dog food and said, "Life isn't fair. The rest of the world's eating turkey and all the trimmings, and all I get is this dog food. And because I'm a dog, all I get is dog food." And he stood there and he stared at his dog food for a moment, and he said, "I guess it could be worse. I guess I could be the turkey." So, I mean, there was very little joy in Snoopy's thankfulness, for his thankfulness was based on comparison. His thankfulness was based on comparison. His thankfulness was based on the fact that he was better off than the turkey. And so it's a small lesson to remember that whenever we're down in the dumps and full of complaints because life isn't fair, we recognize that so many people are far off better than we are, and we should stop complaining from what's in front of us. But it even goes further than that, because when it comes to our thankfulness, the basis should never be, "Wow, I'm thankful I'm not her," or, "Man, I'm thankful I don't have to live a life like that." That shouldn't be our thankfulness. Because thankfulness is so much more than a comparison of our own situation to someone else. Thankfulness is so much more than a comparison of our situation to someone else's. Because thankfulness is more than having enough food to eat. It's more than having a nice home to live in, or good health, or financial security. Because each one of these circumstances can be taken away in an instant. Just ask Cliff Williams if your health can be taken away when the test results say you've got cancer. Just ask Vernon Davis if your job can be dissolved after serving many years of faithful service to a large company. I'll say it again. Thankfulness is so much more than having enough food, a nice place to stay, a warm house to live in, good health, or financial security. Thankfulness is a state of being and a way of life, and that's called gratefulness. And we can usually tell, because we usually fail to live in that state because we always seem to take it for granted. It's just kind of the way we are sometimes. We just take it for granted. The word thanks is a very small word. I mean, it might only have 6 letters, but it gets across a message that few others do and is capable of achieving. And when this one little word is missing, you and I feel it very deeply. You know what it's like when somebody doesn't say thanks, or you feel hurt, or used, or ignored, or taken for granted. You often wonder why you even bothered to do something in the first place for this person. Because if there's one sin most prevalent today, it's the sin of ingratitude. Because God does so much for us. Our indebtedness to Him is so enormous, and yet we rarely, or at least infrequently, give thanks for what He has done. I mean, in fact, most professing Christians don't even give thanks over their meals, much less offer thanks for all the goodness that He's done in their lives. We're kind of like this little boy who was given an orange by a man. The boy's mother asked, "What do you say to the nice man?" The little boy thought, and he handed the orange back and said, "Peel it! Peel it! Peel it!" Now, we hear that today, and we say, I know children who are just that ungrateful. But before we pound the gavel of judgment, let's see what we do. I mean, how many times in our lives do we have that same attitude with God? God blesses us with something, and we lift it back and say, "Peel it!" I mean, God blesses us with some healing in our lives, and we lift it back and say, "I wasn't the same as I was before." God blesses us with a house. We hand it back and say, "It's not big enough for my family. We got to have get-togethers. We got to have people over. It's not big enough. Peel it." God blesses us with perhaps a job, and we lift it back and say, "It's not what I wanted to do. Peel it." For you see, thankfulness for a child of God isn't confined to a day or a season. It's an attitude. It's an attitude that we should have every day and every hour in our lives. And to magnify this point, I want us to examine the account of the 10 lepers in Luke's Gospel to see some important truths concerning this heart of gratitude. I want to examine how this one leper became thankful with a grateful heart. Now let's look at verses 13 and 14. It says, "And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go show yourselves unto the priests.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed." I have no doubt that they were declared clean by the priests as they made their way to be with their family and friends. To hug and kiss the wife and their children, to visit with their mom and dad, or perhaps talk with their friends. But their minds were occupied on the blessing that was brought to their lives, so many times as we do also. Their minds were occupied with the blessing brought to their lives, all but one. One loved his wife and children just as much as the others. One wanted to spend time with his friends just as much as the others. One wanted to enjoy every blessing that he received from God just as much as the others. But one had his priorities in order. One put family, friends, and fellowship on hold so he could worship the one that made his healing with his friends and family possible. It's amazing that the 9 other lepers didn't return to Jesus to give him thanks for what he had done. Have you ever wondered why maybe they didn't? Why just that one leper returned to thank God? To thank Jesus? I guess we'll never really know. But here are 9 suggested reasons why the other didn't return. See if they apply today. Maybe one of them said, maybe one waited to see if the cure was really real. That's nice that he told me, but I want to see if it really is gone. Maybe the second leper waited to see if it would last. Okay, it's gone, but I've become so comfortable with my affliction, I'm sure it's going to come back. Maybe the third one said, "I'll go see Jesus later. He understands. He's forgiving. He's a nice guy." Maybe the fourth one decided that he'd never had leprosy in the first place. Probably just a skin rash. A little cream and it'll keep it away. Maybe the fifth one said, "I would have gotten well anyway. Just long enough. Give a little time." Your body's pretty strong. Maybe the sixth one gave the glory to the priests. They were caught up in the priests actually granting them to go back into society to visit their family and friends. Maybe they were thankful to the priests. Oh, thank you, thank you. Oh, you don't know how long I've waited for this. Maybe the seventh one said, Jesus really didn't do anything. All he told me to do is go to the priest. Maybe the eighth one said, any rabbi could have done that. You know how holy they are. Maybe the ninth one said, I was getting better anyway. I saw it coming. But one leper's response is found in verse 15. Look at verse 15. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. He acknowledged his healing by realizing his blessings. The first part of 15 says, when he saw that he had been healed, and being thankful with a grateful heart, one must first be able to, one, realize your blessings. This is the first step, you see, to have your eyes open to the good thing that happened to him as well as us. And so often God does good things in our lives, but we never even take notice of them. We just take them for granted. We're too consumed with other things in our life that he hasn't fixed yet, or he hasn't provided for us yet. Once you realize that you're blessed, then you're on the road to gratefulness. So make sure where you've, and take a good look to see where you've come, so you can actually see God's goodness. Not only did the leper realize, though, that he was blessed, but let's look even further. The second part of verse 15 says, he turned back. The one leper turned back to remember his Savior. The second step in becoming thankful with a grateful heart is remember your Savior. It might have been a bit of an inconvenience for him to go backwards on the journey to find Jesus. I mean, it may be an inconvenience to part company with his only friends that he'd lived with years. You got to remember, they're their outcasts. They've got to make do for themselves. They don't have any Meals on Wheels or Jesus house that they could stay at. They've got to fend for themselves out away from society. And when you do, you become quite close to the people sharing your same affliction. So, naturally, he wanted to go and rejoice with his nine other fellows as they were being healed as they went to the priests. I mean, wouldn't you have wanted to hurry up so the priest could make it official so you could get back to your family and friends who you'd been outcast for so many years? But how many of us actually stop to remember our Savior? Not just during a prayer when someone asks you to pray before you dive into that nice big juicy turkey with all the trimmings, or at the restaurant and mashed potatoes, not just to stop then, but to actually stop and remember your Savior and all that He has done in your life. In our fast-paced lives moving forward, what has He done this year, 2009, so far, for you to stop and remember Him? Don't let your pursuit for the things that you think are important in your life rob you from the things that are already important in your life. Say that again. Don't let your pursuit for the things that you think are important in your life rob you from the things that are already important in your life. Stop and remember. Turn around from your fast-paced life, what you do every day, and to see what God has done for you. Stop before you make a decision that you know is not right to do, but you want to do it because it feels good to you. Stop before you do that to look what God has given you and to think twice before doing it. This man didn't forget. He remembered who had healed him. He remembered what his life was like before, full of misery and loneliness. And many times we forget that. And then when that's gone, we go back to that misery and loneliness, and it's like, ooh, I was here and I don't like that before. The third step, though, this man took in becoming thankful with a grateful heart was look further, and he glorified God openly where he was. The third step in being thankful with a grateful heart is to give God the glory. He didn't keep his praise to himself. He was a bold testimony of his mercy, of God's mercy and goodness in his life. Notice that he said it with a loud voice. He glorified God. If you don't know how to glorify God with a loud voice, just ask Cliff's wife, Thelma. Thelma, could we get a little example of glorifying God with a loud voice?
Oh, give
thanks, there you go. Amen. This is the place to do that of any places in America, in the world. This is the place to do that. Yet some of us are still inhibited to do that. What will they think of me when I do that? They're going to think I'm crazy. But you see, you didn't have to go through the valley to get to that place. Make sure that you don't have to go through a valley before God, that you can give God the praise openly and give God the glory. And with that same loudness and intensity, the leper cried for mercy, and he glorified God once he received that. Many times we cry loud for help, but low with praise, giving God the glory for what he's done. And if we express that if we do not express that gratitude with our lips by giving God the glory, then we have not been thankful to God, or we have not been thankful to man or anybody. Because what happens if we don't do that, you see, is the expression of gratitude dies with our lips. It dies within our lips by not expressing it outwardly with them. It dies within us. And this includes not only God, it includes your spouse, it includes your children, it includes your parents, it includes your employers, it includes our brothers and sisters, fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't let the glory die on your lips. Because you see, Hebrews 13:15 writes, "Therefore by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, by giving thanks to His name." But not only did the leper realize, one, that he was blessed, and not only did he, two, stop and remember the Savior, and not only, three, did he stop and give God the glory, but look further in verse 16. Verse 16 reads, "And he fell on his face and at his feet, giving thanks to him, and he was a Samaritan." And the final step this man took in becoming thankful with a grateful heart was that he humbled himself with an attitude of gratitude. The one leper gave thanks to the one who rightly deserved it, Jesus Christ, by showing his thanks to him. No matter who saw him bow down at the feet of Jesus Christ. In his book, Folk Psalms for Faith, Ray Steadman tells of an experience of a man named H.A. Ironside that he had in a crowded restaurant. And just as Ironside was about to begin his meal, a man approached the table to see if he could join him. The restaurant was obviously crowded. And since Ironside was by himself, there was an empty spot. And so Ironside invited him to have a seat by him, as was the custom. And as was his custom also, H.A. Ironside bowed his head in prayer. And when he opened his eyes, the other man was looking at him and asked, "Do you have a headache?" Ironside replied, No, I don't have a headache." The other gentleman asked, "Well, was there something wrong with the food?" Ironside replied, No. I was just simply giving thanks to God as I always do before I eat." The man said, "Oh, you're one of those." He said, "Well, I want you to know that I never give thanks. I earn my money by the sweat of my brow, and I don't have to give thanks to anybody when I eat. I just start right in." Ironside said, "Yes, you're just like my dog. That's what he does too." Now, I don't know if this gentleman stayed seated next to him, but, you know, that's kind of true. I mean, funny how we can be sometimes like that man's dog, too. I mean, verse 16 read, "And he fell down at his face and gave thanks to him, and he was a Samaritan." He was not a Jew. I mean, he was not worthy of this healing in the first place. He was a Samaritan. I mean, it's worse off that he was a Jew and had leprosy. Sure, they could get healed. They're the chosen people of God. But he was a Samaritan. It's kind of sad. But in many of Jesus' parables, the people that understood what Jesus was trying to get across to the human race from the Father was not His chosen people. It was the ones chosen to be outcast. But by His grace, this Samaritan outcast was healed, and he comes back to worship the one who unconditionally healed him. And God may choose to do the same. He not only healed the physical healing from a distance, but he received spiritual healing as well. And that's something many of us overlook in this story. God may choose to physically heal you from a distance, but spiritual healing comes when you fall prostrate before the feet of Jesus Christ and worship Him as Savior and Lord. Now, I'm not talking about coming up here and flopping around and falling at the feet of Jesus, although, you know, in order to humble yourself, you may need to do that. But I'm talking about in our hearts when we bow down and worship prostrate before the feet of Jesus Christ and give Him our life. Not only did His faith heal him, it connected to the one that could also save him. It was at the feet of Jesus that he found a heart of gratefulness within himself. A heart of gratefulness was then birthed within this man. There's an old legend that a man found a barn where Satan kept his seeds ready to be sown in the human heart. And on finding all of these seeds, he found out that these seeds of discouragement were more numerous than the other seeds that were stacked away in this barn. And he learned that those seeds could be grown probably most anywhere because they were so numerous than the other seeds. The seeds of discouragement. So in question, Satan reluctantly admitted that there's one place I can never get these seeds to grow, though. I mean, I can get them to grow most anywhere. That's why there's so many of them. But there's one place I can't get these seeds of discouragement to grow and to thrive. And where is that? Asked the man. Satan replied sadly, in the heart of a grateful person. In the heart of a grateful person, the seeds of discouragement cannot thrive. Because as we read in the story of Jesus and the 10 lepers this morning, we find that one leper discovered that gratitude is simply an attitude of grace. This Thanksgiving, we can find that being thankful with a grateful heart requires realizing our blessings. We can go one step further and stop and remember our Savior by turning around from our busy lives and acknowledging Him and remembering Him and remembering what He brought us through. We can even go one step further and give God the glory by coming to church and telling others what wonderful things He has done in our lives. This may be where you're at today. Some of you may be shy to give God the glory for what He's done and provided you, but let me tell you, when we bow down at the feet of Jesus, just as this one leper did, when we bow down at the feet and humble ourselves, no matter what anyone around us thinks, and humble ourselves with an attitude of gratitude, even if others around you may not understand quite what you're doing, or they think it's foolish to see what you're doing by bowing down at the feet of Jesus, that, my friends, is when you receive a blessing from the Father of true spiritual healing. That is when you're made whole through Christ with a grateful heart. One leper among nine others who received also a blessing from God bowed down at the feet of Jesus. One leper humbled himself as a servant in thanking himself for the wonderful healing that he received from Jesus Christ. Today, will you be the one? Because if you are, that is when a grateful heart will be birthed within your spirit. That is when gratefulness becomes part of your being because you begin to realize that Jesus is your master in all things and He's going to provide for you in all things. And you don't have to hope. You don't have to hope that God will take care of your needs and requests through your prayer because you know that that you could believe that He will provide for you in all things. Just like the old hymn states, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. We know that He'll give us the healing and provide for our needs and lift our hearts up when they become heavy. We know that now, because we have a grateful heart, that He holds us through the times when we quite can't understand what's happening and what's going on in our lives. And we know that it's not what He does in our lives that weighs the balance of whether or not we're going to be obedient to Him, or whether or not we're going to come to church or not, or whether or not we're going to tithe or not. Because we know, because we now have a grateful heart created within us, just as this one leper received, apart from the 9 others who also received a blessing. Because gratefulness now is about our attitude. It's not what we have or don't have. It's how we view things in our heart. The difference between a servant and a worker. True gratitude focuses on the greatness of the giver rather than the gift that they receive. Gratitude is focused on the greatness of the giver rather than the gifts you received from the giver. Mother Teresa tells us of a story. Ministering to an old woman dying of starvation, she said, one evening we went out and we picked 4 people from the street that we saw. And one of them was in a really terrible condition, really in a bad condition. So I told the sister, she said, you take care of the other 3, and I will take care of this one who looks the worst. So I did. And I did it with all that my heart could do. I put her in bed, and there was such a beautiful smile on her face. She took hold of my hand and said 2 words only. 2 words! And those 2 words were simply, thank you. And then she died. The breath of life was gone before her as her lifeless body stood before me. And I couldn't help but examine my own conscience as I stood there before her. I asked myself, what would I say if I were in her place? I would have said, I'm hungry. I haven't eaten anything in weeks. Do you have anything in your home, perhaps, that I could eat? Or maybe I would have said something like, I'm dying. Do you have any way? I don't have any money to seek a physician. Can you perhaps take me to the hospital? Or maybe I would have said something like, I'm in so much pain. Do you have any medication around the house to kind of take this pain away? But she gave me much more. She gave me her grateful love. And she died with a smile on her face. That's the way I want to die. Regardless of my circumstances, not whining or whimpering, not complaining with a bitterness of spirit, but with gratitude on my lips. And if we're able to do this, if you're able to do this, if I'm able to do this, it will not only bring a smile to our face, but to the face of God. Which one of you are you in the story of our lepers today? Are you among the 9 that they get what they want out of God and perhaps go along your merry way with get caught back up in your normal way of living of life? Anxious to get back in the routine of the things that you used to do before you encountered that trial? Or are you like the one leper in our story today? The one leper. Are you the one? The one who stops to see what blessings God has given you. The one who's willing to become grateful unto God no matter what's going on around you or who sees you do it. Today, let's purpose in our lives to become grateful. Let us be able to be thankful with a grateful heart. some of us may have to tear up some roots of bitterness that begin to grow over that once loving and caring heart. Let's purpose in our lives to do more than just rejoice of what God has done good for us. Let's be thankful with a grateful heart. Today is your opportunity to call unto Jesus. Perhaps you're calling out as the lepers did for mercy, whether you need physical healing, spiritual healing, or mental healing. Perhaps you just need to make a profession of obedience, to do in your heart what you know God's been trying to get you to do for the longest while, but not been able to yet quite do it or find the time to do it. As our praise team makes our way to the stage this morning to lead us to the place in our hearts where the Holy Spirit does His work, I've asked others to come up here to help us with our needs today. As we stand this morning, Philip, our elder, if you'd come forward, Adam is busy playing the piano, Jan, our intercessory prayer minister, and Thelma, our sister of strong faith, as they make their way up here to the front to greet you during the invitation to minister to you and pray for you as you feel led. Let's go to God in prayer. Please stand. Father, we come to you this morning, broken and afflicted as the lepers, but thankful that you have healed us. Father, let us please be able to remember that it's just not just a one-time thing to where we thank you and go on about our busy lives, that we remember you and that we can give you the glory and that we can always have this attitude in our heart to see not what I need from you all the time, but what do others need? Give us an attitude of gratitude, Father, this morning. Please heal our hearts so that we can have this attitude, no matter what it takes in getting rid of it. Whether it's something on the job that's distracted you, something at home which has distracted you, something at church maybe has even distracted you, please, let's remember to be thankful for the grateful heart. This morning, as you feel led to come, please, don't hold back. Let the Spirit guide you. Time. I appreciate that. I'd like to remind you, one, if you haven't brought your shoebox yet, bring it up. This is such a tremendous thing to see these shoeboxes up here. I take pride in that from our church, being able to provide gifts to people way over there in the away from the United States. Laren asked me last night, I had this cheap little fishing pole toy, and she said, "Do you really think a kid could enjoy this?" I said, "Laren, thank God for teachable moments." Over in Guatemala, Adam and Cindy brought a bunch of pencils over there, writing pencils, and they were a bunch of yellow pencils, and they lined up all the children out there just so they could get some pencils for school, for their schoolwork. And then in those pencils, there was perhaps maybe 10 or 15 colored pencils. They all weren't yellow. One was blue or red. And you wouldn't believe the children that would vie, you just try to get those because they want the red or blue pencil as opposed to a yellow pencil. So if a pencil can make somebody happy in a third world country, yes, the little plastic fishing pole toy is going to bring joy to their hearts. And that's why we do the Operation Christmas Child with the shoebox that Philip and Haley has been telling you about so faithfully. And I thank God for that and your support in doing that. I also would like to invite you to another thing that you can support this evening. If you would like to have dinner with us, we're having our Ground Zero Turkey Drive to where we all the money, the ticket money sales, everything goes. The money that you buy for the tickets doesn't cost for the food because we have people that we ask, and the teens themselves provide the food themselves for that. But everything that you pay into this turkey dinner goes directly to purchasing $50 grocery cards for Crest for families that may be in need this Thanksgiving or Christmas season. And we do this by contacting the local schools, the Choctaw-Nakoma Park Schools, the Carl Albert School District, to see if there's any families that they have need that they can see that really could use this. And they are so grateful for that. So I'd like to invite you that's at 5 o'clock this evening. And it's $5 if you buy them today, $7 at the door. Yes, it's a little higher, but remember, all money goes to the ticket sales that go to the providing these grocery cards. So it's not that Ground Zero or the church gets that extra $2. It's these families do. And also bring your checkbook with you tonight, because we also have tips and donations that those go to the families as well, because the ticket sales provide probably maybe, I want to say, $250 or $200 or something like that. But it's your generous gifts and donation that push that up there to around $500 or so, so we can get about 10 cards for families. So this evening, if you'd like to have dinner with us, come by and have some good turkey and stuffings, and Ground Zero will treat you for all that. I think they have some prizes even for the prize drawings that you have. So I'd invite you for that. So as we close today, let's remember, be thankful for the power of praise, thankful for our freedom from our vets, thankful for our family by rounding up, and thankful with a grateful heart by having an attitude of gratitude. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just are so thankful today for you and all that you provide. Please be with us as we leave today. Bless us and let us not forget the giver.